Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording our very special episode of Making the Cut this week. We've never done this before.
Never done it before. I'm so excited.
We have two competition winners with us. Hello, you two.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Sean and Mel.
Sean and Mel. How are you both? All right?
Really good, yeah.
Very
nice.
Good.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Where have you had to come from?
From Leeds, in Yorkshire.
Leeds, okay.
And you came down this morning?
Yeah. 8:15 train.
And can I just say, they have come down laden with gubbins for us. And they didn't just come with sort of verbal recommendations. They've actually bought boxes of stuff with them. So well done. Like, they're quite heavy. I don't know what you're carrying around, but, like, bravo.
Thought it was the least we could do.
Is it? I'm very, very excited to be tasting stuff. I love tasting stuff.
Yeah, me too.
We have a rule on this podcast that we try stuff before we record.
Yeah.
If anything's
just
revolting,
in case we don't like it.
We don't have to slag anything off, you know.
We never say anything nasty about anything, so this is risky for us, because if we don't like it...
You'll love it.
You reckon?
You will love it.
You will love
okay.
it.
Okay, great stuff.
Can I just quickly find out a bit more about the girls?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So tell us a bit about you two. Like, how are you two friends?
So we met 6 years ago on a dog walk.
Oh,
you were pregnant at the time with Nate.
Is that,
yeah, you were walking your friend's dog.
Oh, yeah, I was looking after my mum's friend's dog.
Yeah. And we just got chatting and you were getting a dog.
Yeah.
And I had Noodle. Yeah. And then, yeah, we've just been really, really good friends ever since.
And we've just got to say, Noodle is the most amazing, what is it?
A miniature golden doodle.
Oh, and he's a therapy dog.
Yeah, so he goes into schools and reads with children.
Really gorgeous.
Yeah, he is gorgeous.
He's a Labradoodle. We discovered.
No,
a
miniature golden doodle. So half golden retriever, half miniature poodle.
Okay. Oh, and a Labrador.
But a miniature one.
A miniature golden
retriever.
They're the
cutest. No. They're the cutest.
Miniature golden doodle. So,
a miniature
so there's a golden doodle, but then there's a little one as well.
But he's also a doppelganger for Waffle Doggy. So whenever we go dog walking, Mel gets like
hounded by
toddlers who think it's Waffle Doggy off the telly.
I hope you go, yes.
Yeah, I do. I pretended he was Waffle to a little 2-year-old.
But like life-changing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Therapy in all the ways.
Yes.
Yeah, my mate Pip's got a Labradoodle. And
you love that
it's
dog.
So the temperament of it and everything is just so bloody nice, you know. And when we take it to a restaurant or something, it just curls up under the table and falls asleep while we eat.
That's Noodle.
Whereas most dogs are just like, can I have what you're having, you know. They want to eat it.
Although Maggie's a poodle cross my dog and she's a grump, isn't she?
She is so miserable.
You've got a grumpy dog.
A cockapoo, yeah. Noodle's girlfriend, but she
Who hates him.
Doesn't like him.
Cockapoos are a bit more sprightly, are they? A bit more spunky.
I mean,
Maggie isn't.
She's a bit more miserable. She's my favourite family member.
I had a dog like that. She was quite moody. Yeah. She was a bit runty. And didn't like anybody, but I loved her. She had all these funny little idiosyncrasies, and you're just like,
yeah,
you know, I knew her.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to Mag, we had her, and then we had Nate, like my son, within a year, and then Charlie within 2 years.
Dog,
so
that's like
she
being
was a bit put out, and now
it?
She's
yeah.
coming back round and getting a bit more fun.
Okay, why don't we start as we mean to go on?
Yes, we're going
to
start here.
Booze.
Now, you talked about this last week.
Yes.
Now, this is quarter.
Yes.
And it's gin that is quarter of the alcohol.
Yeah. So obviously, top I can't try it.
No,
I'm
that's
sober,
all right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
we've got some here.
It smells like gin. Have a sniff of that, ladies. Do you like drinking alcohol?
I love gin. Yeah. And I love drinking. I'm a drinker.
But do you like the idea of having a gin that is quarter of the strength so that you could have a few without getting absolutely hammered?
It smells like
now,
gin.
Mel is a good drinker. I'm not a good drinker.
Sure, I'm right, a rubbish I'm drinker.
Constitutes a rubbish drinker?
I mean, we won't tell those stories.
Oh, okay, okay.
But we're talking, she is very good.
I have to look at her. I think we should
be careful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, well, it's quarter. We don't need to be careful. That's the whole point.
So what I'm going to do is make a strong one and a normal one. I would say that's normal. And I would say we'll make a little stronger one, just so we can taste the gin, essentially, you know. Now, I'm going Fever Tree tonic here.
Tell them what you always say
the Mediterranean tonic. When I order a gin and tonic, people say, what gin would you like? And I always go, the cheapest gin and the best tonic.
Really?
Well, there's 2/3 of the drink is the tonic, right? So I think, well, to me, all gin tastes pretty much the same, unless you stick rhubarb in there or grapefruit gin or whatever.
No, Michael, no.
By the time I'm onto gin and tonic, it could be petrol as far as I'm concerned, you know, just whoosh. As long as it's boozy.
What's your gin of choice?
Hendrix.
With a bit of cucumber in there.
With cucumber and posh tonic.
Okay.
What tonic?
The Fever Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is good.
You can't beat Fever Tree.
I listened to this. I read this article in the Sunday Times about a guy who was an investor, and he invested in all sorts of different things. And he told you how his investments were doing. It's in the money section, you know. And he chucked a bunch of money in Fever Tree tonic, and he quadrupled his money. It just went through the roof. And he said, it's the single greatest investment I ever did was buying shares in Fever Tree. And it's weird because, like, Schweppes owned the tonic market forever.
Yeah, well, nobody
it?
Even yeah. tried to compete, did they?
No. And then Fever Tree, bang!
Bang!
They did it.
What's your favourite gin?
The cheapest.
Yeah. Like Aldi. Aldi do
no,
a really
but
good
literally, yeah, he will have. If I ever go and buy gin, I always just look at the cheapest gin possible. And sometimes what you do at home, because we've
got a bar. Yeah, I was just about to say this. I know. So we've got a lot of kids who like drinking alcohol. So if I buy any fancy gin or anything, it's gone. Mm. So I've started to buy, or we've started to buy Sainsbury's Basic Gin and just top up the bottles.
But we put it in the posh bottles.
So what they think is Hendrix is actually just Sainsbury's Basic Gin.
And they're like, oh, this is nice.
But yeah, they go, oh, we love the posh gin. I'm like, yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, my son had a party and decided to raid the cocktail cabinet with his friends and got my posh gin.
Yeah.
And filled it up with water.
Oh, water.
You
can't do that.
Didn't we have that? Done that?
We had some friends over the other night and we went downstairs. We've got a little bar downstairs. We had some friends over and they went, is this a fake bar? And we were like, no, there's booze. They went round every single bottle empty, all of them. We were like, kids had been down there. They're like gannets.
Okay, so that's a little one and that's a... Yeah, I mean, I definitely need a double.
Do you want the little one?
A double?
Yeah.
There wasn't enough in there.
It felt like there could be a sharper gin flavour in there, but, you know, there's a bit of lime in there and all the rest of it as well.
Have you got the strong one?
Yeah. She's got the strong one. Yeah.
Yeah, you better watch it.
My mum used to have these glasses.
But I do love a non-alcoholic gin or a vodka or... What do you think?
Yeah,
do you
think? It's nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Does it taste ginny enough to you? Do you want to put some more in?
Well, I'm going
to
take a swig neat.
Hang on, let's
see. I tell you, I've tried the clean gin.
Oh, yeah.
Clean Co. Spencer Matthews gin, and that's really good.
Spencer Matthews keeps asking. We should recommend that, in fact. Please, will you quickly recommend that? Because I love Spencer Matthews. We were on The Jump.
Yes.
We worked on The Jump where Spencer and Vogue met.
Yes, I watched
Sparks
it. I love them.
Flew. Yeah. It was immediate. But please, will you tell us about the gin? Because I've been thinking...
Spencer Matthews Clean Company gin is absolutely... It's the best I've tried of copy gins.
And it's completely alcohol-free.
Well, I think there's a tiny, teeny, teeny bit, but amazing. Absolutely. Mm. The taste is fantastic.
I would drink this every night, I think, this quarter gin.
Oh, would you?
Yeah, because... You know, it's not too boozy. It's got a nice taste to it, nice and refreshing.
Fresh.
And I could easily drink this.
And I really, really like the bottle.
Yeah, me too. And I love the name of it, Quarter. It's such a great idea that it's just
chic.
A quarter. Yeah. Mm. They do something at Soho House called a little beer, and it's 1%.
And, really?
Yeah, and I always thought it would just be a little beer, but I think they were saying it's a little alcohol. But, oh, it's really good. And you can have a pint of it at lunch and not fall asleep, you know.
If you say little beer, it sounds cute.
Yeah, it does.
If you say non-alcoholic, it sounds like you're missing out on something.
Yeah. Yes.
I always think the free from section in a supermarket is really depressing.
Yeah, you think free from
it's
fun.
It's free from anything nice. No, free from anything sugary or creamy or milky. Or, so, yeah, you want to make it sound like it's cute. Quarter sounds chic. Little beer sounds cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds like it's a positive.
We can't put this in the bar near the kids because they'll just consume it all in a heartbeat. We've got to hide this.
We've got to
stuff.
Hide it.
Yeah,
hide it.
But very nice, Quarter.
Very, very nice.
We're delighted with this. Right, girls.
I think we should get a recommendation from the girls. Although Spencer's gin, that was a very good recommendation. Yep.
Yeah,
well done.
If Spencer wants to send me any, that would be lovely.
Yeah, and me, Spencer.
It's really nice. Mm. It is really nice.
So what would you like to kick off with, you two?
Do you want to go first? Yeah, sure. Cake.
Yes.
Cake. So we've got, where we live, there's a fabulous New Yorker called Lisa Gare, and she's got a company called The Yummy Yank, and they are, without a doubt, the best brownies I've ever tasted in my life.
Americans are the only ones that do brownies properly.
So, and she's gone to town, and she's had such a super busy weekend, but she's still gone to town and brought all sorts, and she's even done Davina a special tray with all dark chocolate.
Stop
and
it!
So there's no sugar in it
whatsoever. Oh my god, are you kidding me?
So that
especially
is,
for you.
She's written you little notes. Oh. This is what I love about
I love
about
that
Lisa,
name,
sorry.
The Yummy Yank.
Yank, yeah. And it's got a really lovely meaning as well. It's like to do with her dad and his brother. That was like their nicknames. It's all, that's Lisa there. And she's just ace. So these are her brownie snaps, and I have tasted those, and they're amazing.
Okay,
and we have a little
in here.
It was making me think of you,
snap.
Michael, and your cinema trips, and you.
Oh yes. Yeah, you know, I might go to the cinema tonight actually.
Because it's a nice little cinema snack.
I like crunchy.
Mm. You know what would be good on that? Bit of Philadelphia.
Oh my god.
Mm. Which ones have you had?
I've got the raspberry.
Oh my god.
Raspberry.
Try the orange one. Oh, these are brilliant.
They're amazing.
They are very, 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 very nice. Where does she sell?
So she sells online. She's also in shops.
So would it be Yummy Yank online?
Oh, let me find her.
Oh, hang on.
Here it is.
TheYummyYank.co.uk. This is really extraordinary. This tastes amazing.
Wait, so
raspberry's fantastic, right?
Oh god, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll love this because I told her that you don't eat sugar. She brought me round a sample of one of these boxes that she's made specially for you, and she said, "Sian, taste it, and if you don't like it, don't give it to her." It's amazing, and it is so good.
Yeah. I've got to say,
The Yummy Yank. Yeah, she is incredible.
I would like a bit of cheese on them. You know, like something a bit sour on top of the sweet.
She'll have written you a little note in there as well because she does that with every order. And she's
you can buy
friends brownies and cookie bars, and I like her New York cheesecake.
The Yummy Yank sounds like
the cheesecake. Americans, that really dense.
Oh my gosh, it's.
It's so good.
Got one each.
It's insane. Yeah. And she,
great.
All right. So one. She'll
zero sugar brownies.
These are only for Michael as they contain sugar. Okay.
Well done for telling me that, because you could have kept that to yourself. And said, these are for me.
I've fallen off the wagon. I've fallen off the sugar wagon this summer, and I've really been trying the last 2 days to get back on the wagon.
Yeah.
So this is very helpful.
That's okay.
Holy Mary, Mother
of
God.
Olivia,
come over here and take a picture of this.
Does she do orders?
Yeah.
Like, you could phone her up and go, we're having a birthday party.
Yeah.
Would she ship anywhere?
Yeah. Yeah, she would. She's incredible. Yeah.
Oh, this is
And also, she's a really good egg. Like, she's just such a lovely one. Do you know what I mean?
Nobody uses that phrase around here. Yeah. You're a good egg. What do you mean, I'm an egg? Jesus, Mary and Joseph, look at that. That's about 4 kilos in that, as it is.
I said to her yesterday, if you don't like them, I'm taking them home because they are
amazing. No, don't
amazing.
You worry about that.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, it's got no sugar in it.
Let's have a taste of no sugar brownie.
Stop.
What has it got in it? Marijuana? Is that going to be in it?
I meant to say so.
Oh, God, that's so rich.
But you don't feel like you're lacking
No.
No, you
in
don't.
Any way there.
Mm.
But that is amazing.
Mm.
But I have to say, the brownie snaps are a game changer.
They're
I've never
extraordinary.
Had anything
so,
like that before.
Does she sell those in any kind of supermarkets or anything yet? Or?
Yeah, she is in. I'm not sure exactly where.
Okay.
But because she has, you can go if you go online. But I've sent like. For people's birthdays, I've sent them brownies before. And
yeah.
It's
such
just, yeah,
a good
no, it's
gift.
Great. And she does have a vegan selection as well. But
so she's got always real butter, free-range eggs, over a kilo of chocolate in every tray of 20 brownies, pure vanilla. What's on top is also inside the brownies. Never compromise on quality. They're big. I mean, I can vouch for that.
I mean,
our brownies weigh between 120 and 160 grams.
Bloody hell's bells. Like a birthday cake.
It is like a birthday cake. But I really follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the yummyyank.co.uk. What a really, really nice. And you know, we're always so keen on promoting small businesses and people that are just kind of starting off. But this is extraordinary. So well done.
I'm slightly nervous about Googling the Yummy Yank in case, you know. Something slight, obscene turns up. I'm sure I've seen that name before on a website. have I crossed the line?
Cross the line.
Okay,
come back.
Very good. Okay, so I want to give you a song as a recommendation.
Oh, great.
So this song came out a couple of weeks ago, but I was supposed to talk about it when we recorded the first podcast, but we got on a roll and it disappeared out of the mix. But it's a Yorkshire band, the Arctic Monkeys.
Oh, like them yeah. Enough,
right? I know there's something about Yorkshire, isn't there? Is anything from Yorkshire, then it's like, it's mine.
My son just saw them at Leeds Fest.
Oh, yes.
They were amazing.
Yeah, my kids saw them at Reading.
And your niece
at
Leeds.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So my dad moved to Oakley when I was a lad, so I went to Oakley every weekend for about 12 years.
I said that, didn't I?
Yeah.
What?
No, because I knew you had some connection with Oakley,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
And my brother lives in Burley and Wharfdale.
Oh,
right.
Well, down the road in Bramhurst.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So, yes, the Arctic Monkeys, they released a new song called There Better Be a Mirror Ball. Now, the Arctic Monkeys launched this new album in 2018, which was a complete departure for them from all their kind of usual music that they would make, which is normally quite a rocky and heavy riffs and a bit, as my mate said, it's all a bit spiky for me. but for whatever reason, they've transformed themselves into some kind of lounge jazz act. So the new album is out in October and it's called There Better Be a Mirror Ball.
To the car. You ought to know I'll have a heavy heart. So can we please be absolutely sure that there's a mirror ball?
I don't know if you know much about him or not, but his lyrics are always so good. I mean, he writes the best.
A poet.
Oh, completely, you know. But there's a great line in it that says, I put the rose tints on the exploded view, meaning that I guess he's it sounds to me like he's breaking up with somebody or something bad is happening, and it's this idea that he could just put these rose tinted glasses on and everything will just be fine for a while, you know. But the melody of the song and the kind of rhythm of it and the pacing of it and everything is so unlike them that I'm very excited about their new album coming out. But if you're looking for something to listen to while you're pottering around the house or, you know, on a train journey or something like that, download it from the iTunes or the Spotify's or whatever they call it these days. The MySpace.
He just adds an S to everything. Facebooks, YouTubes.
Yeah. And if you've not heard it already, definitely give it a listen. But it's got such a nice feel to it, you know. And I've been desperate for new music for ages. Cause
yeah, you have.
I don't know what music you listen to or not, but it's so hard to get hold of anything new that made me feel like it did when I was a lad. Stephen Fry wrote this book about growing up, it was an autobiography, I think. I can't remember what it was called, but he talked about just how exciting it is being a teenager because you have all these experiences for the first time. There's a book you read, and you'll never read that book for the first time again, but it fills your heart with joy or love. And you hear a song that absolutely moves you and changes how you see the world. Or you have your first kiss or the first sexual experience or whatever. And of course, you'll have lots of other experiences, but you'll never have the first one again.
Yeah.
And we so beat up on teenagers all the time about, you know, them being ungrateful or, you know, being a bit selfish or whatever.
Snowflake. There's so many awful terminology, but
And actually,
aren't they? Like, they're just evil to teenagers nowadays, really.
And I assume it's because we're all slightly jealous because we'll never have those first experiences ever again.
Yeah.
And they're so unbelievably precious. So I can't remember why I've ended up talking about that. What was on music? Oh, that was right.
Lyrics.
I think just finding new music. So it was really nice to hear a new song that evoked a kind of new emotion.
But the other thing I like is that we both slightly interpreted that song in a different way. So
yeah,
you thought it was about a breakup.
Maybe, yeah.
And I didn't think it was about a breakup. I thought it was about something kind of that somebody was leaving, but they were together, but you were going to miss them.
Ah, okay. So they're not breaking up. They're just going home.
Yeah.
I like the idea of that. But I also like when you interview these artists about their songs, they refuse to tell you what they were about. And this is probably a good example of him, where he just basically says, well, the song's yours. Like, if I tell you what it's about, it'll stop meaning what it means to you and mean something else. So I don't want to tell you what it's about. Half the time, I don't know, you know. And I guess it's one of those songs that I guess could be interpreted a lot of different ways.
But that's what I love about songs and lyrics, is that everybody can interpret it in their own way. That's the joy, isn't it?
So this is the first song they've released off their new album, which comes out in October the 22nd, I think it is. But go and download it. It's called There Better Be a Mirrorball. I'd listened to it two or three times. It's quite, as you said, it's a bit jarring in bits.
It's jarring, but I've got used to it now because you've played it a lot.
I've played it a lot. I overplay stuff.
I know
I do that because I think, God, am I really going to put this on again? I think she's not listening. I'll put it on again. And I see you coming in and go, this song's on again. Sorry. But anyway, it's really bloody good.
Yes.
And big up the Yorkshire, you know. And for someone from Lancashire to say that is a big deal. just let you know.
This is all stuff I learned about.
Yeah, the War of the Roses.
Yeah.
There's a rivalry between
them. There really is. Like, if I say my boyfriend's from Lancashire, people from Yorkshire go,
That's why I sat them over there. You know.
Sorry about that.
The other problem is Yorkshire seems to have all the kind of talent. So many good bands and artists from Yorkshire and Sheffield and all around that area and Leeds. And all Lancashire's got is Freddie Flintoff.
Yes. That's a lot, though.
It isn't.
That is a lot.
It isn't a lot.
I love him.
It is.
He's a good thing to have.
He's a great thing to have.
He played cricket. He threw a ball for a living.
He's on Top Gear.
Anyone could get on Top Gear since Clarkson left. He's all right, Freddie Flintoff. He's too tall and he's too good looking. And the other one is Stan Laurel. I think he might have been from Lancashire.
Are we scraping the barrel here? There must be other famous Lancashires.
Yeah, Phil Cool. Do you remember Phil Cool?
Yeah, I remember Phil Cool. With
his face. Yeah, he's from there. Oh, and by the way, me. I'm from there as well.
Sports.
Yes, but we need a good band, really. They all came from Manchester. But anyway, that's my recommendation.
What's yours?
So, I've brought you cheese.
Yes! So were you just saying about the snaps, the brownie snaps?
Yeah, oh, I
you
want cheese to go on
cheese.
Them.
Cheese!
Ooh, and I tell you what Lancashire does. Good
what?
Cheese.
A Lancashire bomb.
Yeah, the Lancashire bomb. Oh.
Not
Lancashire.
As good as this is the best cheese you'll ever taste.
And where is it from?
And it's
Yorkshire.
From a company called Yorkshire Pecorino.
Oh!
Oosh.
Who have moved their dairy to Otley.
Yeah.
And
I know Otley, yeah.
Mario and Sonia. Mario is from Sardinia. He came over to England 21 years ago to learn English.
Uh-huh.
Fell in love and never went home.
With
two
Sonia.
Teenagers later.
Oh, yeah,
the dog.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my god, this is great.
So they have sent you the most amazing.
Okay.
So you've got a ricotta.
Oh my god.
You've got a Leeds Blue.
Leeds Blue.
Bit of blue, huh?
You've got a Fresco.
Thank you.
Oh my god, Fresco. I'm just repeating everything you're saying. I'm like, Fresco.
Yeah, you know, if in doubt, repeat. Yeah. Okay, let's have a little look.
We're unwrapping.
Forgive
Can I just say, that is my kind of cheese.
That is the best cheese
God
I have ever, ever had.
This is it. This is it.
I genuinely thought you were just going to take a bite.
Oh my God. I know. Shut up.
He's won loads of awards.
I am. Just tasting the Fresco Pecorino, which is extraordinary. It's like, it's quite soft cheese, quite creamy, not too pungent, but not too weak either. It's nice flavour.
Yeah, so they've sums sent up Yorkshire, basically.
A leaflet of all what's so it's made from ewe's milk.
Oh, is it? So this is a really nice story. I mean, I love, again, you guys have brought us two recommendations, but I've got a story to them. I always, the first thing I do if we find a company is I go to the, click on about. Who are you?
Yeah. Why are you doing this? I know what you mean. It's a good
idea.
What's
your story? Yeah. Like, I want to hear all of it.
Oh, that's God, a few years old, is that? But it basically tells you in a nutshell about them. And they're the most loveliest family ever.
Oh, and the blue cheese is extraordinary.
Too blue for me.
Oh, no, not for me.
Yeah. I'm a bit of a wuss when it comes to cheese.
Oh, well,
I like Dairy Link, Baby Bell, all the classics.
Primula.
But I love Wednesdaydale with apricots or like.
Yeah, cranberry.
I took a bit of fruit.
But
in
this
there.
One's amazing. Yeah. Try this. Try that one.
I've had that. Just put it on a brownie snap.
So found out this morning.
Oh, this looks good.
That they know each other. This is why you know.
Oh, really?
I said they're a good. She's a good egg, Lisa Gale. Yeah. And when we tagged these guys this morning, she went, "Oh, Mario."
They could collaborate on us.
Yeah. So they moved production out of their home in May 2021. To an actual dairy. So before that, they were making cheese in their own home.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
This, you know what? This is like, you can see that these people are just passionate about what they do and what they make. It's interesting because we recommended, I don't know if you heard before, a Yorkshire pasta company.
Yes.
There is some really nice kind of artisan foods coming out of Yorkshire.
Well, they sell them. They sell the cheese at all the farmers' markets.
Mm.
So that's how they sell it and online.
This is really,
really
good cheese.
What do you know? I'm gonna I'll do it at lunch. Hot sauce. I need like a bit of chili in there or something like that.
But this on one of the snaps. This one.
Let's put it on a snap.
Go for it.
Yeah. And what's the website?
It's yorkshirepecorino.co.uk.
Yeah, it's a good website, I can imagine.
So that's yorkshirepecorino.co.uk. That is a very, very good recommendation.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Okay, so I am going to now recommend, because of the Queen's passing, and obviously she died the night before the latest podcast dropped, and we'd already recorded it, so we hadn't mentioned anything about her.
Oh, yes, we've not mentioned
and
the Queen.
I wanted to kind of, in some way, commemorate her, but with an Instagram account that Andy, who is the third Beatle...
Yeah.
Say hi, Andy.
There he is. We keep him in a cupboard. Yeah.
And he read something to me yesterday that made me quite emotional. It's such an amazing piece of poetry. And it's from the Poet Laureate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written for the Queen.
Do you know anything about the Poet Laureate? Is there more than one? Can you have like five of them?
No.
And who appoints the Poet Laureate?
I don't know who appoints the Queen. Well,
the Queen?
We think.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And do they do a different one each year, or you don't know? I mean, I feel like I'm putting you under a lot of pressure.
You are.
Here. Okay.
No.
I'm going to do some work on this and talk about it next week.
Yes. Why don't we come back about it? But yeah. I just... Simon Armitage _ official.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a blue tick, so if it hasn't got a blue tick, don't follow.
Yeah.
But obviously, the Queen's favourite flower was Lily of the Valley. And this is... Yeah.
Yeah.
Your granny.
Yeah.
And it's called Floral Tribute. I'm going to read a bit of it. Okay. I won't read all of it because it's quite long, but I'll read the first verse. Evening will come, however determined the late afternoon. Limes and oaks in their last green flush pearled in September mist. I have conjured a lily to light these hours, a token of thanks. Zones and auras are soft glare framing the brilliant globes. A promise made and kept for life. That was your gift. Because of which, here is a gift in return. Glovewort to some, each shining bonnet guarded by stern lance-like leaves. The country loaded its whole self into your slender hands. Hands that can rest now, relieved of a century's weight.
Blimey.
Oh.
Wow.
And then there's a second.
Yeah, yeah. But I won't people can read that.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And just to be able to command the language, English language, in that way, to make such beautiful sentences. I love that idea of the country loaded its whole self into your slender hands, hands that can rest now, relieved of a century's weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is very good when you mess about with the language, isn't it? I mean, I'm not a writer by any stretch of the imagination, but it is funny when I watch those things on Instagram or a little thing where somebody's written a sentence and then they can cut like six of the words out of the sentence and it still means the same thing, but it could even be more accurately means the same thing by removing words from it, you know? You ever seen that thing on Instagram where somebody writes the word empty and then he gets rid of the E and then it still says empty? And then you get rid of the Y, and it still says empty. And in the end, you're just left with the M and the T, which still says empty. And then you get rid of the M, I think, T. And then you get rid of that, and it goes, empty. You know, I'm like, Jesus, like, you can't escape the idea that no matter how many letters you remove from the word empty, you can still say empty, you know. I know, you'll pick up in your algorithm now we've talked about it, because they know that.
Well done,
The British Poet Laureate, it is an honorary position appointed by the monarch of the United Kingdom.
So, yes.
Well done.
From the Queen.
Yeah. Currently on the advice of the Prime Minister, the role does not entail any specific duties, but there is an expectation that the holder will write a verse for a significant national occasion.
I mean, wow. Simon Armitage was the Poet Laureate at the Queen's death.
Yeah, I mean, if you were appointed the Poet Laureate, you need a national event, don't you? You need something to go down.
But you couldn't get... This is a worldwide event. This isn't just a national event.
So Simon Armitage, there's a Poet Laureate from past. It's quite interesting, isn't it? None of them from Lancashire, probably.
Does it say how long a Poet Laureate is appointed for?
Yeah, because I wonder if you lose it, if you...
You snooze, you lose.
You lose. He was appointed the Poet Laureate on the 10th of May, 2019.
Oh, so not a year.
Not long, yeah. So, oh, maybe you just get it once a year then, yeah.
No, but he's still Poet Laureate.
Oh, okay, yes. I've lost track of time, yeah. Anyway, well done, Simon Armitage.
Yeah, that's a fantastic, a very lovely work. Piece of poetry.
What you got, ladies? Anything else? Seen any films? Yeah.
So I've got another recommendation.
Okay, yes. Great.
For, I don't know if you've been, Rudding Park Spa.
No.
No.
In Harrogate.
Oh, Harrogate.
And we've got you a gift.
They've gone up a middle class.
So I went, it was my friend's big birthday a couple of months ago, and I went for the first time to Harrogate, to Rudding Park, to their rooftop spa for the day. And it was amazing.
Really?
Absolutely. One of the best spas I've ever been to.
What happens at a spa? What do you do at a spa? I've never been.
They've got a lovely outdoor pool.
Okay.
They've got a jacuzzi. They've got lovely gardens. Mm-hmm. They've got relaxation rooms. It's just lovely.
It's a pampering thing.
We had lunch in our dressing gown.
Like Christmas present for your mum or something like that.
We just had a day where, we just sat about and chatted and relaxed in our dressing gown, went for lunch.
And is it a nice setting, the building and everything?
It's just stunning. It's just absolutely stunning.
What's it called?
Rudding Park Hotel and Spa. And they would like you to go for the weekend.
We'd love to do that.
Yeah.
So, yes. I have a little gift for you from them, inviting you to lovely Yorkshire.
You guys can come again.
We'll be back every week.
Where else are we going to go this week?
If you're out and about doing your filming or whatever, they would love to accommodate you.
Pass on our great...
I'll give you that afterwards. But
you can get massage there and all that, right?
Yeah, you get treatments. They've given you a lovely package.
Have they?
Yeah.
He's got a lovely
overnight stay. Overnight
They've given you a Sleeping Beauty package.
Sleeping Beauty. Have they? Yeah. I need that. Yeah, I don't.
He's
sleep
not
that
very
well.
Good sleeper.
There's this really cool room as well downstairs after you've had your treatment, and it's got one of those big screens and like a swinging chair. And
Like
the seats you can dive into, and you just sit in there and zone out.
It's just amazing.
We've been before and not had treatment packages and kind of snuck into that room because it's like.
I'm wondering about how old is it?
Reading Park, I'm surprised you've not been. It's a beautiful hotel. They've got a golf course.
When I worked for the One Show,
yeah,
and I used to do all these kind of funny little movies and stuff like that. These VTs. I think Andy might have been there for this one. We went to the Harrogate Spa place, and then they made me do all the spa things. And one of them was to get in this plunge pool, and I got out the plunge pool and had to deliver a piece to camera. But my brain had malfunctioned so badly once I'd gone from hot to cold 3 or 4 times.
Was that at the Harrogate Baths?
It might have been the Harrogate Baths.
The Turkish Baths. Yeah, yeah.
37 times I had to do this piece to camera. I couldn't get words out or anything, you know. And it looked terrible in the pictures, you know, when they put it on telly, my little puny body getting out of this cold pool. I was like, God almighty, don't let me do this. But I'd love to go there. And
do you know what? I'm quite enjoying having you two here, because he's gone right north.
Yeah,
hey! You know, he's kind of slightly gone a bit southern since he's moved down here. But whenever he's in the company of true northerners, it all comes back.
That sounds bloody great.
Yeah.
So they would love you to go for the weekend.
Oh, that's a great recommendation.
They've sent you a beautiful, but it is amazing. You know, they do weddings. They do all sorts. It's beautiful.
They do weddings.
Not that I'm hinting you get married.
Bloody hell.
She's keen.
I've just married you off. Sorry.
Okay. On that bombshell. Thank you. I've got one more to talk about. When I stumble across something I like, I have this little notes page in my iPhone or whatever, and all I put in was Easy London Par, and I thought, oh God, what's that? I can't remember, you know. So I went back.
Oh, I see. You'd put something in your notes.
Yeah,
you were
and
like,
I don't know what it is.
I can't remember what that is.
So this morning I was just having a little scan through, and then I thought Easy London Par must be an Instagram account. So I had a quick Google of the thing, and it is
an Instagram account.
It's an Instagram account, okay. And I remember now. Why? And it's probably not the best time of year to talk about this, but it's the Easy London Parasol Company. They make parasols, like for your garden. Or whatever. Wait till you see them, though.
Oh.
They're so bloody nice.
Oh, my God. Right. An umbrella, but to end all umbrellas.
Yeah, right. So they make these, like, one-off bespoke kind of parasol things. Look
at
that.
Oh, my God.
That is what you'd have in your drink.
Exactly. It's like bloody Del Boy's cocktails, isn't it? But look how nice and colourful they are.
And look how many people we know follow them.
Is that? Oh, yeah, Jessica. I think it's Jessica I got it from. Yeah, I was thinking, what is she following, you know? But they look really nice.
But I love
this.
And are they each made individually, or do they kind of mass market a pattern?
Let's have a little look at...
Handcrafted.
Handcrafted, yeah. So I think they're probably made...
I wonder how much...
Just accept everything. Stop asking me.
Wow, they're in America as well.
Oh, you can win one. There's a raffle there, new arrivals.
So you can win one, and the money goes to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, how lovely.
Because they are spenny.
Yeah, they are expensive. But really bloody nice.
I mean, really bloody nice.
Oh, well, there you go. That's not too bad. So $3.99 for a 2 to 3 metre canopy.
Wow. I didn't realise there was so much call for parasols.
No, well, you know.
But I see, like, rather than a garden umbrella, much prettier than that.
Yes, I mean, they've got those ugly ones you get at garden centres, aren't they? They're all a bit clunky. Outdoor furniture is rubbish. What we need to find is a really good outdoor furniture company to recommend.
Yes.
Because most of the stuff you buy is really uncomfortable after a few minutes. So it's all a bit wooden. It's all, ratios are all wrong from table to chair. You know, your table's up here, the chair's down here. And when people say, oh, we'll eat outside, I think, oh, God, really? And I always think, can I take a chair from...
Five cushions.
Yeah, I have to bump myself up on a booster seat. Or, you know, bring out a bloody, you know, a dining room chair or something like that. What I like is indoor furniture, just brought outside for a bit, you know. And I like a lamp and a rug and all that, basically. He's got to take the whole room outside. Remember I went to see David Gray in concert, and he'd done it up like a living room. You know, there was a lamp there and a side table and all that. It was like bloody the ideal home show, you know, and then he came out and sang. thought, this is so nice. So what I like about them is they don't feel like classic garden furniture stuff.
It feels cozy.
Super cool. But you're right, they are quite expensive. But go and have a look at the website, and if you don't want to buy one, at least follow them online, because their pictures are really nice. Look at that underneath it. Look at that. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Oh,
took a few fairy lights up there.
Mm.
A little quarter gin and tonic. Some cheese and some brownie snaps.
Some Yorkshire Pecorino.
Bam. So, yeah, I thought that was a really nice little...
Very, very nice.
Really, really cool, aren't they?
We're going to finish with the ladies, but I'm going to quickly say that remember to get your piece of commemorative china. So, royalcollectionshop.co.uk is closed, obviously, at the moment, thinking of the Queen, and we're in mourning. But it will be open, I'm pretty sure, after, I think it's 2 weeks of official mourning, isn't it? And because it's the Royal Collection Shop, I'm pretty sure that they will stay closed for that amount of time. But afterwards, mugs, plates, everything, get it all.
I totally
and
agree.
I would say have one set to use and one set to keep.
To keep,
because, and inside the mug that you're going to keep, put... some banknotes with the Queen's face on it, get some coins with the Queen's face on it, stamps, anything that you can muster to commemorate
this is a really
amazing
nice idea, that,
woman.
You forget there's something so nice about looking back, isn't there? If somebody shows me an original Charles and Diana mug or something, you go like, what? Oh, my God, you know. And you forget in 20, 30 years' time, you know, your kids or grandkids or whatever will go, oh, my God, look at that. You know, there's something so good about it. So I totally agree.
Yeah,
go and buy some Queenie memorabilia.
So that is royalcollectionshop.co.uk.
Well, just before, we hadn't really spoke about the Queen's death or whatever, but it was we were working together that day.
Yeah, we were
kind of monitoring the news. I was trying to analyse, like, why do I care, you know, if the Queen lives or dies? Like, but I cared, and I couldn't work out why particularly. Mm. It's quite a hard thing to kind of pick through, especially if you're challenged in some way.
Well, I know.
Do you? Go on.
Why I care.
Yeah, why do you care?
Just because she's been, like, our nation's mother.
Mm.
She's always been there. She's always stayed solid.
Mm.
She has never wavered. I mean, the hardest thing she's ever been through, she's never had kind of any kind of public breakdown or...
I mean,
the hardest thing was Annus Horribilis. Like, when she said that, I remember thinking, oh my God, she's actually said she's had a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
She's literally carried us through so many dramas and survived so much hardship in terms of COVID, the war. Like, she's really... And to be thrust... she didn't want to be queen.
Yeah.
It wasn't her job to be queen. It was only because her father's brother
abdicated.
And then her dad died that she became queen so young. And what I was thinking as well is that, you know, I'm sure there might have been some people, although I think he's been pretty impressive so far, but some people who would have been, oh, Prince Charles, you know, why don't you just hand it on to Prince William? But imagine what people were thinking when a 25-year-old girl, back in those days, a woman, a queen, oh, God, what good will she do? She has been unbelievable. And, I mean, but I quickly want to say, for friends of mine of colour, it's also quite a difficult time because it reminds them of colonialism.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something that we as a nation have to take a long, hard look at.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to also say that out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
But she was and has been a remarkable monarch. And I think she's held our hand through a lot.
What about you two? Were you affected by it? Did you think about it a lot? Did it mean anything to you?
Yeah, I think it's obviously very sad.
It was expected, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was like she's
96.
I know.
Yeah. Was it expected, though? I just thought she's one of those people that were going to live forever. I thought she was going to live forever. But complete icon and
I think the thing I like about the royal family is that they are a kind of family, and it malfunctions in all sorts of weird ways. Like, look,
like
what's
all
going
our
on
families
with Harry
do.
At the moment.
Yeah, and it has recently,
Prince
hasn't
Andrew,
it?
Or
oh, God,
you know, all that stuff. And you think, oh, like, how are you supposed to deal with that? Especially when the public scrutiny is so intense, you know.
But I do
they handle
really
it extremely
well.
The
reason is that they don't wash their dirty laundry in public.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't talk about anything in the papers ever. And it doesn't matter what Harry or Meghan write or how many books they do, or how
There's
many
no
Oprah interviews.
Yeah, they don't respond. Yeah.
Never respond. Mm. And that is the best way
it's
to
an amazing
deal
lesson, that,
with
isn't it?
Yeah.
Anything.
Yeah.
Do not continually put oxygen to the flame.
Yeah. Somebody...
It must be hard not to respond, though, to some of the things that have gone
imagine.
On.
Yeah.
But, you know, they were all, they were saying, you know, poor Meghan, but actually I believe that if Meghan had stayed and just ridden it out, they would have gone much easier on her. But do you remember what they were like to Kate and her family?
Yeah.
Gold digger,
the
family. You know, they sent her to St. Andrews specifically
to marry
bag
a prince.
The king. You know,
did they?
They said that.
Bloody knew it.
But, you know, and you think, like...
Yeah.
And her family have stayed respectfully silent, and now they're very respectful of them because of that.
And Kate seems extremely respectful of the duty and all the other
things. Oh, I love her. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
God. She's so hot as well. Sorry. But, wow. Every time I see her, I'm like, Jesus, she's made in a laboratory.
The hair.
Yeah.
Her hair is extraordinary. Three kids later, she's still got a full head of hair.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Not mine was like, come and going, then it just went. Like, never came back.
And William seems solid, doesn't he?
Solid.
You know, you think, oh, well, great. You know, it looks like we've got a decent king now, and it looks like we'll have a decent king in the future, you know. But you've seen The Crown, you two, have you?
No.
What?
Now is the time to watch it, because I think if you didn't feel an enormous amount when she passed, you will when you've watched this.
It is brilliant.
It's extraordinary.
Crown. And I think you have to take the stories with a pinch of salt, but I think what they're trying to do with the stories is really express what
the
it was kind like for them. Yeah. Mm. There's a comedian I listen to called Stuart Lee, and he tells these stories that aren't true. And then at the end, he tells this story about David Cameron kind of forcing somebody to drink vomit in the Bullingdon Club. And he says, and at the end he goes, now that story about David Cameron's not true, but what it tells you about David Cameron is true. And and I always think it's such a brilliant thing, that, because you could say anything about anybody and then go, well, that's not true, but what you're feeling about that person is, you know. And I think the Crown adopt that kind of idea where they tell you a story that's probably not very accurate,
slightly,
but it leaves you with
it
leaves you with a feeling that you understand the pressure, or you have some sympathy for what it must be like to be under such public scrutiny. You have to watch The Crown. I've watched it twice.
It
is so
watch it
good
on the way back.
Anyone else who's listening to this has not seen it, like, watch it, or if you've seen it, watch it again. It's really good. I've watched it twice. It was just like,
wow, okay.
Yeah,
it's been on my list of, and just I need to get around to it.
Okay, good.
So what is your final recommendation?
So because I mean, we love the show, we love you both, but Davina, this one is for you, because you are for us an iconic woman, and we think you've done so much,
and for me,
and
she is for me as well.
This is a local artist, Kat Arnold, Kat's Illustrations, and this is one of her best-selling prints, and it's a Frida.
This is amazing. So
and
how...
actually, we think it'd look great in this room.
It would look great in this room.
look how great it would look.
And it's so similar to that other one.
Yeah, it is very...
So tell me a bit about... Is she a friend of yours?
She's my sister, actually.
No!
Is she?
Kat's Illustration, what's her website?
Kate Arnold, is she? Yeah.
So she's Kat's Illustration on Instagram, and she does, I'll let you have a little flick.
She
does all sorts. She does a lot of the Real Housewives.
So you can shop her designs at Redbubble, at Etsy, TeePublic, and iCanvas_art.
And Society6,
she's got 1,300 followers.
Yeah, we can
bump that up a bit. But these are gorgeous.
God, they're so nice. And when you mount them as well in a decent frame with a decent mount, they just like pop out, don't they? The colours
this
are
is
fantastic.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Frida's one of my faves.
I've got quite a lot of her stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course. It is very in keeping here. We've gone for a kind of slightly mid-century look about this. And I love these kind of slightly 70s colours.
Her page is great.
Yeah.
Follow her on Instagram, Kat's Illustration. Really nice. Kat Arnold. But thanks so much.
You're welcome.
I mean, perfect in here.
Yes, it is. Great.
Here.
Right.
Oh, I loved your recommendations. They've been amazing. Is there anything else
that
you
wanted say?
To recommend before?
I mean, if you were going to Rudding Park to have your weekend away and you wanted to stop, I mean, Mel would like to have you for dinner.
Yeah, you can come to my house for tea.
Because my husband's so excited because I didn't
He's not on Instagram, so I couldn't tag him. So when I said I'd won and I was bringing Char, he was like, what about me? I want to meet them.
I mean, she still would have brought me, but... But what we were saying, and Mel's a much better cook than I am. I mean,
we're suggesting Mel's house, but
there's a studio in Bramhope called Fit Cure, and Tom, who runs the studio, is just the most phenomenal trainer. And again, that's it's an Instagram handle that you can follow. It's at Fit Cure.
Fit Cure.
Yeah, and yeah. He shares so much educational content. I mean, FitCure_UK. And he always says he married well because his wife is a physio, but he is, I mean, I'm a personal trainer, but Tom is, the amount of knowledge he's got, and he's just,
great.
Again, a really good egg, lovely. Like,
he's just such a lovely person.
Fitness Instagram pages are really, really useful because you follow the dad bod. And
Steve the dad bod's great, but there's loads I follow, actually, or I just, something comes up where it says,
and inspiring.
I mean, recipes and work, I mean, I do classes online and share things, but it's when people say, oh, I made that and I really enjoy it. Like, you can never have enough. I mean, even when you do your own thing to go
I always think if you do other people's workouts, I am going to go to the gym.
Yeah.
I see someone else has done it. No, I better go. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do a couple of shout outs.
Yes.
This one's Annie B, which is Annie50BEE, is on Instagram, and she sent us this thing here. I was like, what's this? Looks like some potential sex toy. Anyway, it turns out that it's not that. And it said, hi, I was listening and heard you mention that you buy a travel plug most times you travel.
Yes.
I would like to recommend the Astrium travel plug. It has two USB ports, a shaver plug, as well as four continental plugs, which slide out depending on whatever it is you need and whatever country you're in. That's bloody good, isn't it?
That's such a good idea.
So I'm going to order one of these. And it's got USB ports. I mean, God, it's the dream.
It's the dream.
And then it said, look what's on BBC iPlayer. Seen a beautiful day in the neighbourhood. I don't know if you've seen A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood.
Is that the one with Tom Hanks?
Yes.
No.
Oh, God, it's so good. So he plays a character, I can't remember what it's called, something Rogers.
Not a character, is it Ted? No, Ted Rogers.
Ted Rogers was 3-2-1.
Yeah. With Dusty
3-2-1. Yeah, with Dusty Vin. I can't remember. He plays the character of an old children's TV presenter from the past, who nobody could believe was that good. Like, he was so nice and he was part of so many children's lives growing up, but he was a middle-aged man, you know. And I think everybody thought, you know, there must be skeletons in this guy's closet or whatever. So they send a journalist to basically interview him. The journalist doesn't want to interview him.
Fred.
Is he called Fred?
Fred Rogers.
And then the story about is how him and this journalist kind of connect. But there's a moment in the film where I just sobbed my heart out, really. And I'll tell you what it is. But there's a bit where they sit across each other in a restaurant. And the journalist is having difficulty with his marriage, and he's got stuff going on in his life and all that kind of stuff. And he's really having a tough time doing this kind of weird interview with Fred Rogers. And Fred Rogers says, I just want you to stop for a minute, you know, just for a minute, sit there and think about all the people that brought you into being. Everybody that you've ever had any experience with or interaction with has brought you here, and you need to I want you to think about that for a minute. And in the movie, the restaurant goes deathly quiet, so all the actors are obviously told to be quiet at that point, and the camera fixes on Tom Hanks's face. He's arguably the greatest actor of our generation, right? Greatest. And you think,
yeah,
well, so what? He's been told what to say and he's been told where to stand. How difficult can it be? And then you realize just why he's so good. You know, this camera fixes on his face, and they do a whole minute basically of the silence, and it's you, the audience, are also being forced to meditate on this idea where you go, yeah, all the people that I've had experiences with brought me to this person. And then the camera pulls onto Tom Hanks, and then he just very briefly looks down the camera at you, and you go like, and then they snap out of it. But it's like the most powerful fucking thing I have ever seen in a film, and it's essentially nothing. It's silence, you know, in a still camera. But he just does this thing. It's one of the best films I've seen in years.
Is it on at the cinema, or it's on the iPlayer,
the BBC iPlayer at the moment, and it's called A Beautiful Day in the Neighbourhood, which was the song he sang at the beginning and the end of all these TV shows.
Right.
But
it's got oh, a no. 7.2.
She said, oh no, it's actually on all four. Oops. On all four, the Channel 4 streaming service.
7.2, 1 hour 49.
Oh, it's so good. Thanks very much, Annie B, for that. Could I recommend Bad Sisters? I think it's on Apple, but it's brilliant. Bad Sisters. I don't know if you've
I've heard
this.
About it.
Yeah,
not
so
seen
this
it.
Is Sharon Hogan's new thing.
Oh, I love
but,
her.
Yeah. The reason I picked up on it is Bono's daughter's in it. You know,
oh, yeah.
Eve
she's
Houston.
Amazing.
She's amazing. So follow her on Instagram. So they've been doing that. But my dad rang me the other day and said, Bad Sisters.
Oh,
my God. It's absolutely not. Let's watch it.
Okay.
Can't tonight, but. Maybe tomorrow. And let's have one last one from, I don't know, what's that, Wasali?
Wasila.
Wasila. Awesome, just to wind down as we are mourning. What did she say? Oh, she's just talking about our podcast, I think, saying it's a great way to wind down. As we are mourning Her Majesty the Queen, I've also watched The Fall. It was brilliant. We met Jamie Dornan recently, didn't we?
We did.
You know Jamie Dornan?
Yes, I loved The Fall.
Looks a bit like me.
Can I just say, he looks a bit like you. Yeah. No, can I just say...
I'm 50 kids.
I've met Jamie Dornan on Jonathan Ross, so I did Jonathan.
Yes.
I finger-combed his beard with my hands.
Who could have said that?
But finger-combed his pubes.
Yeah, no, no. I just fingered
I just finger-combed his beard. Yeah. And, but, you know, and he was very nice then, but you're on a TV show,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't see him afterwards or anything. So anyway, we saw him at Coldplay, and I went and said hello, and he was just so nice.
Oh, my God, yeah, he was...
I mean...
Yeah.
You never know with these people, do you? You know, because they're actors, so you don't know who they are, because they're always
but
acting.
But he was like... And also, sometimes
God,
I think...
so lovely.
I was like, this is Michael, and he spent ages talking to you.
Yeah. I mean, we were like that. He saw me as a kindred spirit.
But
you know.
I really, really, really liked him after that.
Oh,
I thought,
yes, he
you
was
know.
Great. And he told me this interesting story because I said, oh, do you like Coldplay? And he said, well, I didn't. But he said in 2005 they headlined Glastonbury and I was there that year. And my, not known to me then, but my wife was also there. And then we met after that. But, you know, during our, you know, our dating or whatever, realised we were both at this concert and we both didn't like Coldplay, but we went just because they were the headline act. And then we both were like, that's the best thing I've ever seen. And then they fell in love. So Coldplay is their kind of thing that slightly binds them together. So I thought that was just, it's really nice when you can latch on to bits of art that,
yes.
that took you, took that your, means your, something. Put your relationship together. Last one from Sandy Gardner. Evening, darlings. I found this podcast about 9 months ago. And bloody
what, another
love it.
Podcast? Oh, our podcast.
Our podcast,
okay,
yeah.
That's
yeah.
Fine.
Caught up on all the eps while working and today heard the new two. Michael, if you want a mountain biking in the Alps, there is nowhere better than here in my
Morzine.
Hometown of Morzine. Oh, thank you very much. I'd love to go to Morzine. It's expensive, Morzine.
Is it?
It's probably, they're all expensive, the Alps, aren't they? Mm. We worked 4 winter seasons in the Three Valleys, Meribel, and whilst lovely, have been in the Zain. For a zillion years. What's the Zain, you think? For a zillion years, and it's marvellous. In the summer, mountain biking is huge. We have world champs here and everything. Nearer to Geneva and Lyon, oh, wow, that's handy, than the Three Valleys, and much more real. Come and try us out. Huge thanks for being such a lovely couple. I often shed a tear with you guys. Oh, and if I do, I can use it as my Perry excuse. She must be going through perimenopause.
Yeah, aye. You know all about that.
I know all about that. I know all about the symptoms of that.
Yeah.
Not that I need one. You know what I mean. We know exactly what
we
you
do.
Mean, Sandy Gardner. Thank
Sandy.
You so much, and we're so delighted that you've found our
shout.
Podcast. Yeah, it's a great shout, isn't she? And there's a picture of her, which I assume is her husband, who looks like a very fun guy.
Yes.
He's sucking on a
He's
straw.
He's drinking.
Yeah. I mean, with a funny expression on his face, she's like, oh, here he goes again with the straw joke in the picture. Thanks very much indeed, Sandy. It's just, lovely to hear from you. Well, it's been an absolute treat,
Mel,
you two.
And Sian, honestly, it's been so nice, but you have brought us amazing recommendations.
Yeah, they are going to put a few pounds on us, though, I think. Cheese and brownies,
way.
Yeah.
The cheese.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's been great. And it turns out we kind of know each other through a mutual friend, which is quite weird,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, funny.
So, Rob and Kate.
When was the last time you saw Rob? It was years ago.
No, we went for lunch probably about 3 months ago.
No.
Yeah, me, Andy and him went for lunch in Old Compton Street, you know, like you do. And
that's so nice.
So, I'm still talking. And I haven't seen Kate for ages, but, God, she is so good at her job.
She's
wonderful. She's gorgeous, yeah.
Yes.
So send her my love.
I will.
She probably won't listen to this, but you do cakes and that's the
thing.
She produced me doing one show films and stuff like that, and Rob filmed me.
They've
come as a couple.
Couple.
I know, power couple.
We come as a couple now.
Yes, we do.
Don't we?
Yeah, and we leave as a couple.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know where that was going. So have you had a nice time?
We've absolutely loved it.
Yeah?
Thank you so much.
It's been
fabulous, so... hasn't it?
Can I take you out for lunch?
We're going for lunch. Yes. Going for lunch in Kettner's.
Kettner's.
And Kettner's is just off Old Compton Street, or Greek Street,
I think it is. Yeah.
So if you're in London and you want to go somewhere really nice for your lunch, Kettner's is a really good place, and it's so big, you can usually get a table there.
Mm.
And it's swanky, but not wanky.
Yes. Which is...
It's all right, isn't it?
Which is a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a thing.
No, it is a thing.
Because swanky but not wanky is nice, but swanky and wanky not nice.
No.
No, that's a new hashtag there, isn't it? Swanky, not wanky.
Mm.
Okay.
We'll have to use that on our pictures.
Oh.
And can I just say, you're just as great in person, if not better, as you are on your podcast.
Oh.
So you can see how much you love each other. And we love the podcast. Thank you so much for being so nice.
Oh, my
God.
It's very nice that... you know, we haven't disappointed you.
No, you haven't at all.
Thank goodness.
Okay, on that note, we'll wrap this up. But thanks, everybody, for listening. It's a joy to do this podcast, and we greatly appreciate you listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Listening and sending us various recommendations and stuff like that. More of the same next week.
Bye.
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 And see you later.